And welcome, friends, to this edition of the Grace Hour. And we are broadcasting live here from our studios, which are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach, right here in Baltimore, Maryland. Now, great to be with you, friends, on this Tuesday morning edition of our broadcast. And we want to welcome all of you, wherever you may be tuning into the broadcast around the world. Thanks so much for taking the time to be with us. Hope you'll stay with us for the next hour. And the local number here in Baltimore, if you're listening locally, is 410-483-3700. We will give you those numbers throughout the broadcast as well. We want to welcome everyone that's tuning in today live at gracehour.org, YouTube Live, Facebook Live, and a number of different podcasts that you can listen to the Grace Hour on, such as Apple, Google, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, just to name a few. And again, we want to thank you for being with us on this Wednesday morning and remind all of our listeners here in the greater Baltimore area that tonight is our midweek service and all are welcome to attend. We begin promptly at 7 p.m. tonight and come out for a time of worship and praise and a message from the Word of God that will be certain to build you up in your faith. And all are welcome. And we do have a mother's room for the newborns, a nursery program, junior church program for the older children, and everyone is welcome to join us for our service tonight. We hope you'll make it out, and you won't be disappointed. You'll be encouraged in your faith, and you can join the body of Christ as we worship Him together this evening. That's at 7 p.m., and we're located at 6025 Moravia Park Drive, right here in Baltimore. Our zip code is 21206, and we look forward to seeing you tonight at 7 p.m. Our theme this week of the Grace Hour is Awakened to Courage. And today we'll be talking from 1 Samuel chapter 17, when, of course, David, the shepherd boy at that time, faced off against the Philistine champion, whose name is familiar to all of us, Goliath. And as we think about this portion of Scripture and the story that we read in 1 Samuel chapter 17, it's good to remind ourselves that, you know, there are giants that stalk all of our lives. They're kind of lurking in some instances behind the scenes. And as we enjoyed so thoroughly last week's Greater Grace World Outreach International Convention right here at our ministry, the messages addressing this theme and subject of courage, the importance of receiving that courage and storing it up in our hearts, I couldn't help but think about the fact that in the hearts and minds of some believers, you know, the giants are still stalking their souls. Think about it. Now, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, we know that Goliath did not appear on one occasion, but in fact, 40 days in a row, this scoffer shows up in the camp of Israel where the children of Israel dwell. And what does he do? He defies the God of Israel, and every single day for 40 days asks them for a man to come out and fight him. You know, Goliath's family was an ancient enemy of the children of Israel. In 300 years prior to this account in 1 Samuel 17, Joshua drove out these individuals out of the promised land. He destroyed them all except for the people of three cities, Gaza, Ashdod, and Gath. You know, these are ancient enemies that once again appear on the scene challenging the God of Israel and the armies of Israel. It's possible that these soldiers might have even thought this way. You know, my fathers fought their fathers. My grandfathers fought their grandfathers. Again, it's an ancient enemy that shows up. Maybe the principle reminding us of some problems that we've seen in our own family's history, like anger, pride, depression, discouragement. Sometimes you can hear believers say, well, you know, my father was this, so I guess I will be that too. My mother was like that, so I suppose it makes sense that I will be the same way. Divorce has always been a part of my family. I can imagine that divorce will continue even in my own family. Depression was something that we've always dealt with. Perhaps people package them in the form of what they call generational curses. Well, this has always been a part of our family, so I assume it will continue that way. And we just see these giants lurking in the souls of God's people. Again, it's not as though they're obtaining victory in our lives on a regular basis, but we just sense that they're there, kind of waiting for us in the morning, maybe even tormenting us in the evening. And the question that we have to ask ourselves is this. You see your Goliath, but is that all you see? Is that all you see? You hear his voice, but is that all you hear? Maybe what we need to do is what David did, because he showed up at the camp to bring some supplies to his brothers who were in the army. And you know what he did? He just showed up discussing God. He just showed up talking about God. And look at David's battle cry. I think we're all familiar with what Goliath had to say. You know, send me out a champion to fight against me, and if he defeats me, we will serve Israel. But if I defeat him, then Israel will serve the Philistines. But David's cry sounded like this. You come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. And listen to this part, 1 Samuel 17:45. He says, he is the God of the armies of Israel. Now, as I read this, I realized that I had never noticed that before. Armies, plural. David saw not only God, but God's armies. You say, what are those armies for you and I today? Well, it's an angelic force, a platoon of angels, armies of saints, the body of Christ. You know, David knew that those that were with him were greater than those who were against him. And what did David do with this understanding, with this knowledge of who God was and the armies of God? Well, David ran at the giant. You know, most of us with our natures, we tend to retreat from our giants, but David ran toward him. And he did so because he had a God-saturated soul. You see, this underscores the importance of gathering together with the body of Christ, because every time we do, we're taking another opportunity to saturate our souls with the truth of who God is, with his power, his greatness, his willingness to empower us so that we can stand up to some of the lurking giants in our own lives. David ran at the giant. You know, I think this is why God refers to David so often in the scriptures as a man after his own heart. Acts chapter 13, verse 22 says that about David. What was it that God saw in David? Because after all, David had the ability to fall as often as he stood. Yes, we read about his great victory here against the Philistine champion. He stared down Goliath, but yet he couldn't stop staring at Bathsheba. He could lead armies, but yet he couldn't manage his own family. And as we read the account of David in the scriptures, yeah, sometimes he is raging, sometimes he is filled with anger, sometimes he is weeping. But I think most of the time we see David as God hungry. And God saw a man with a heart just like his. And I think that that gives all of us such hope. It certainly gives me hope. I think David's life has very little to offer to seemingly perfect saints. Some straight A souls would find David's story almost disappointing. But the rest of us that are imperfect, stumbling, doubting, we find his story reassuring. And we need David's story, because the giants of guilt and shame, failure, remorse, bitterness, they're lurking everywhere in our lives. And we have to face them. But thank God, we don't have to face them alone. Our soul's focus on God has to be greater than our soul's focus on these giants in our lives. And remember, every giant that we'll face comes with an expiration date. And someone would say, okay, that's great. I want to find that expiration date. Well, to find the expiration date, let's say, for instance, on a carton of milk, you got to look for it. And God says, I don't want you to be looking that closely at the giants of your lives. I want you to be more focused on me. So don't worry about that expiration date. When will it happen? When will this giant stop speaking? When will I stop hearing his voice? When will I stop seeing it in my life? Don't worry about that. Focus more on who God is and what God can do and the fact that he is for you and the fact that he has given you his promises, his nature. And through that nature, we become, again, partakers of the very nature of God, and we can overcome the corruption that's in this world. We can overcome the giants that are lurking in our souls. And boy, when David did that, the giants fell. But when David didn't do that, David fell. It just stands to reason. If we are more occupied with our enemies, more occupied with our problems, more occupied with our giants, what happens? We stumble. But when we see God and our heart's mind and the vision of our heart's mind is filled with who God is, and our thoughts about God become greater than our thoughts about our problems, our challenges, our difficulties. Yes, we have to learn to ponder more about the grace of God than we do the guilt that sometimes we find in our souls. We have to learn to ponder more about God's acceptance of who we are rather than people's rejection. Learn to ponder more about your faith than you do your failures. Learn to ponder more about your blessings than you do your complaints. Learn to ponder more about the strength of God rather than the weakness of our own flesh. Because when that happens, we know what happens. When we focus on our giants, we stumble. But when we focus on our God, the giants tumble and fall in our lives. And I think that, again, this story that God included in the scriptures is so vital, so necessary, because it's a reminder to all of us that when we show up and we face the giants of our lives with a God-saturated soul, and, you know, everyone in the camp of Israel when David showed up was talking about Goliath. I believe there are 9 references David made about God. 2 references that he talked about Goliath. That's like 4-2. And if we are talking about God, you know, twice as much as we're talking about our problems, our challenges, our difficulties, those lurking giants in our lives, we're going to come away with a great victory. The giants will fall. They will tumble. And we will see a great victory that God's grace grants us. So just some thoughts to get us started on our Wednesday edition of the broadcast. Pastor Schaller has joined us in the studio. And Pastor Schaller, I think that we're just continuing along the lines of our theme that was so well developed all last week during the International Convention. And we continue to ride that wave, if you will, and we're all awakened to the courage that God gives us.
Yeah, I just wrote down a few minutes ago some of the speakers and their messages during the convention. David Moore, Justin Schaller, Bailey Norman on the Book of Daniel, Pastor Didida's. You remember, Pastor, I know you were with the teenagers a lot, so.
I heard a couple of those.
Okay, Pastor Christian Diaz and the genealogy of Cain and Abel. Pastor Westera, a workshop on taking courage in the home, raising kids. It was a great week. I think that we are on the same page and we're saying the same thing, that really we cannot retreat. retreatism, you know, negative. It's very easy to retreat. I read this morning Lot leaving Sodom and Gomorrah, and he wanted to go to a little city. Do you remember that? Was it Zoar?
Yes, Zoar.
He wanted to go to a little city, and I can't help but think that when we retreat, we want to go to a little place, you know, a small place. And in Hosea 4, it says that the Lord feeds us in a large place. And David saying that God has put my feet in a large room. You know, we have to be careful that we wouldn't retreat and lose our freedom, lose our rights to have an opinion, our rights to speak contrarily to the culture, to not agree, our rights to contest, for debate, for discussion, our rights for intellectual inquiry and openness and discussion. So this retreatism that is very much a part of human nature, because we are like sheep. And if we are sheep without a shepherd, we will be scattered. You know, smite the shepherd and the sheep are scattered, as we see with Christ at the cross when he was smitten and everybody forsook him, all of his disciples forsook him. So retreatism is, the, in a way, very much a part of our nature, and yet we have the Spirit of God, which is not in David's case with Goliath, which you just taught, is a good example of somebody not in the group, but willing to stand. And then on what ground was he standing? Why did he do this? How was he different from others? So we are, what would you say, Pastor Love? I mean, you just did a great teaching on it.
It was his heart. It's as though all of that time out there tending the flocks for his father and seeing what God did while he was there prepared him for this day. It wasn't that, you know, the giant being there was an opportunity, you know, for David to step up and to be the hero of Israel. It was more, the real work was done in the fields in preparation for this day. God prepared his servant, and he had such a heart after God. There was such a jealousy in his heart for the character and the nature and the glory of God. It was almost as if he couldn't stand to hear the shouts of this Philistine say the things he was saying about the God of Israel.
Yes.
He honored him and loved him and knew him too well.
Yeah. Maybe we could say in your own inner life, you know, Jesus was praying in solitude. He was in Mark 1:35. He went off in the early morning by himself and he prayed. And I think that has a lot to do with what we're talking about. And you just said David in the wilderness, you know, shepherding. What, you know, by myself determining in my heart what I believe. And then in Jesus's case, the disciples said, all men are seeking for you. Where have you been? Everybody is seeking for you. And then he said, I'm going to the villages to preach, and this is why I came. So you see a private life, and then you see a public life, but he's not, the private life and the public life as a preacher. You know, you can't help but think of somebody like Billy Graham, who has a private life, and then he's preaching, you know. The public life is preaching. It's a great model, I think. And if there is a private life, then there will be the authority in the preaching.
Yeah, they were the same, weren't they, for Billy Graham?
Yeah.
They were the same.
What's that?
What you got publicly is what God saw privately.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there was no hypocrisy there. There was no dualism. This was the man. If you were alone with him, you would hear him say the same things that he would say publicly.
Wow. Wow. I have a piece here. It says, a certain management engineer takes hold of sick businesses and puts them on their feet. And he also takes hold of sick personalities and puts them on their feet. He says that he cannot get a man started unless he says yes 20 times. He has been saying no to himself in various forms and under various guises for so long that he has become a no. You are born of the thing you habitually give out. Now you are going to be born of the yes. Go over your vocabulary one by one, root out all negative, weak, and doubtful words, and put in their stead words that breathe positive attitudes of faith.
Mm.
What do you think of that?
I think that sounds a lot like what David stepped into when he arrived at the camp, because everyone was saying, no, 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 it's impossible. It's been 40 days. We'll stay here another 40 days, maybe another 40 years, because we've conditioned our souls to say no. But David steps into the camp and he says, yes, God is able.
I like this sentence, go over your vocabulary and one by one root out all negative, weak, doubtful words. Even, I would add to that, accusatory words. Root out all excuses. Root out all things you hide behind a cloak. The cloak, like, don't have a cloak. You know, be naked before God and confess truth, and this will change your life.
Mm.
Huh?
Yeah, good stuff. I love that he was saying, learn to get it. Not going to begin with you until you can learn to say yes 20 times. I remember reading a story where in the West, in some part of the Great West, a group of men were crossing a river that was strong and powerful. And there was a group of men on horseback. And this one man was trying to get across to the other side of the river. And he picked out one of these riders on their horse and said, could you take me over on your horse? And the man said, yes, 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 I will. And so they crossed the river safely. And one of the other men on the horse said, why did you ask that man to give you a ride on his horse and none of us? And he responded by saying, because his face said yes, your faces said no. And then he said to him, well, do you realize that that man that you asked was Thomas Jefferson? He said, well, I don't know who he is. He says, but all I know is that he had a yes face.
Oh.
Makes sense.
Yes. Well, The yes.
Yeah. It says everything.
Yes,
because
it does.
You can run into people and you can talk to them. Well, even maybe not even talk to them, but you can see in their countenance that they've learned to say no. It can't be done. You know, sometimes when you're faced with a challenge like bringing the gospel into the world, some people say, no, it's not possible. Look at the world and the chaos in the world. And you have a pandemic and you have trouble and you have a poor economy and you... There's all kinds of reasons to say no, but then someone steps up by faith and says, yes, with God, all things are possible.
You know, Pastor Christian Diaz gave a very good message, and it just to comment on it, because we are not, just to clarify that what we are, you, Pastor Love and I are talking about just now, is not about being... strong, but it's about having the right confession with real humility before God, right?
Yes, yeah.
So it's not the power of positive thinking.
Exactly.
It is rather the power of God in weakness. So, I mean, if you were to interview David before he killed Goliath, I think he would say, you know, I'm a little guy. I mean, who am I to do this? But the Spirit is leading. I am able because of God. And this is when Christian Diaz preached, he did a genealogy study with words and the meaning of the names from Cain, wanderer, boastful, man of death, strong, arrogant, external beauty, darkness, tinkling, provision without God, protection without God, intimacy without God. They built a culture without God. But Seth, who replaced Abel, who was murdered by Cain, started a new lineage. Enos was born, and then men began to call on the name of the Lord. And Enos means fragile, weak, and sick. So the seed of the serpent is strong, arrogant, boastful. The seed of the woman is weak and fragile. But when men understand they are fragile, they call on the name of the Lord.
Yeah, that was a powerful message, to say the least.
Yes.
Amazing.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, and even David, when he shows up in the camp, you know, he was being questioned as to what are your qualifications? You know, what kind of have you proven yourself in battle prior to this? And he said, you know, God, he didn't say, I killed a lion and I killed a bear. He said, God delivered the bear into my hands. God delivered the lion into my hands. And this giant is no different. He will deliver him into my hands as well. So his confidence in God was, well, it was like nothing they heard in the camp prior to that. Phone lines are open, friends. You can join us as we continue the discussion live here in our studio on this Wednesday edition of the Grace Hour, so please take the opportunity to do so. Andy Whalen reached out to us and on Facebook Live and says, I listened all week long to the conference. The messages were powerful. I'm planning to get involved with a summer harvest this summer somewhere. Well, thanks, Andy. That's great news. And Dietmar Scherf says, a great and inspiring and encouraging devotional this morning by Pastor Schaller. You can, again, check that out on our podcast here at the Greater Grace World Outreach. These morning devotionals have been such a source of hope and encouragement to so many listeners. So let's go to Samantha. She's joining us from Kentucky. Samantha, thanks for joining us on the Grace Hour. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm sorry, this is my first time calling, so I'm a little bit nervous. But I'm from Pastor Paul Post Church over in Northern Kentucky, and I'm calling with a prayer request.
Sure.
The first is for a person I have not actually met, but is deeply connected to a personal friend of mine that I've known for years and I love very dearly. So I'm going to read you the text that she sent me. Something struck me in the text, and I'd like to comment on it, and then I would just like to ask for the body to pray for the situation. She says, okay, my prayer warriors, I know all of you have heard me talk about my Jack. He was our translator while we lived in Haiti, but so much more than that. He is family, and my mama heart will always view him as my boy. Haiti is a mess. It has been for a while now, but things are really bad. I may have told some of you this already, but in case I haven't, here's some backstory. Jack had a full-time job working for a resort in Montreuil. It was a good job and a steady job, but not high paying. Things were getting unstable, which meant less travelers, which meant less hours of work and less pay. He decided to put himself through photography school, and once he had graduated, we helped him get his own camera since he had been paying to rent one from the school. He went into business with a friend in Port-au-Prince. They got a storefront in a good part of town and were slowly building a business. Then the president was assassinated. Gangs started taking over. His friend was kidnapped and ultimately killed by the gangs. He started sleeping at the studio instead of traveling back and forth, but eventually had to close it down. Where they live in Montreuil is safe. Blondine and Elijah, his wife and son, are safe, but there is no work there. He travels by public tap-tap, the cheapest form of transportation to and from port each day to try to get whatever day job he can. Twice in the last month, he has gotten stuck in port because gangs closed down the roads and it wasn't safe to travel home. once for 3 days. Then the weekend before my surgery, he was stuck there for 4 days. He sent me a voice clip this afternoon thanking me for praying for him and his safety. He was jumped in port Saturday by a guy with a gun. They stole his phone, but then let him go. He is home safe and borrowing a phone from a friend until he can get a new one. Guys, he called to thank me for praying for his safety and to let me know he is okay. Please cover his family with prayer for protection and provision. I believe in the power of prayer. I pray for him because I know it matters, and it's not just all I can do. It is a powerful thing, but still this mama's heart wishes I could do so much more. So reading that story and his situation, I've known about it for a while now, but the fact that anybody in that situation can still find ways to say thank you, can still reach out and say thank you. I continue talking to her, and he hasn't asked for anything. He hasn't asked for her help to find a new phone or even put money for food or any. He just wanted her to know that he was safe and to say thank you for prayer.
We'll pray together for him with our listeners as well. So, Father, we pray for Jack, and his story is like so many stories of those in this country that is really is going through so much, not only prior to the assassination of their president, but since. So we pray for him and ask that you would supernaturally meet his needs, Father, and provide for him. And we pray for all of the saints in that country, Lord, and pray for a great turnaround, a great redemptive attitude. And we pray, Father, that, again, the gospel would be proclaimed throughout that country, and that souls would be saved, and that you would be glorified as a result of it. So we thank you for Samantha and sharing his story today, and just pray for continued covering, safety, and provision that he needs to continue to walk before you by faith. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Very much.
Thank you, Samantha.
Pastor Love, Pastor Mati gave a great message last week. And he said being filled with the Spirit means we have a supernatural ability to love more than normal, more than people deserve. Like a fire, it spreads everywhere and has authority. So is the Holy Spirit's love. Remember, we are to be baptized not with water but with fire, and that this fire is a real fire. And when it's in a church, that it affects people. The fire of the Holy Spirit, the love that goes beyond just normal love, you could call normal love, it goes beyond. It also, Pastor Majek said, that it has to do with courage. Pastor Johan from Montpellier said, we need courage to live in what God has already given us. It only comes from love. Like courage comes from love. You know, you think of a mother loving her child and what she will do to save the child or protect the child from danger. The message of my courage equals how I receive love. I like that. Live with a free man mentality, not a slave mentality. That's a good word. What would you say is a slave mentality, Pastor?
Perhaps in some form of bondage, whether it's legalism for some, or some form of addiction, some form of stronghold in a person's life that they haven't been able to overcome, maybe because they just are not thinking right, maybe they're not and haven't deposited God's thoughts in their souls. Maybe their souls are not saturated with the promises of God, and that can lead to bondage and slavery. But Jesus said, you know, if you know the truth, it has the power to set you free.
Yeah, remember Franklin Delano Roosevelt said in a radio broadcast, the only thing that we have to fear is fear itself, right?
Yeah.
If fear takes over the soul of a person, they start to retreat, and they back off from what, you know, what they're to do and how they're to live, then they're already defeated. The fear has the control. But when Christ came, he didn't give us fear, but he gave us love, and this love casts out the fear. So we're not afraid. And I am very happy for the people in this woke culture that are standing against it and saying this is unreasonable, it violates freedom of conscience. If we don't agree, we say so. I am not a part of the herd. I stand alone. I am independent of the manipulation in society. I'm not hindered by it. I'm not afraid of it. But love of God in our hearts has us not go to a small place like Lot did. He went to a small city, went to a small place, but he leads us to the world. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, not fearing, but having faith.
Faith brings you into such a large place where you can start to believe that you can do all things through Christ who can strengthen you. But that small place, that retreating, is part of the old nature. And the only way to counter that is to just keep feeding our faith and filling our hearts with faith every opportunity that presents itself. And I think that that's why the conference was so memorable and so important, because, well, with the pandemic, we had not been meeting together that way,
right,
at least with those numbers for quite some time. So to have that opportunity and to be together with God's people and to be, you know, iron sharpening iron, and the messages and what was poured into our hearts, boy, what a difference it makes.
Yes, it does. And there was one other message that kind of stuck out. There are a couple of them, but one of them was by Pastor James Adidas in Montreal, the pastor in Montreal. And did you get to hear his message?
I didn't.
Okay. He said he was at the Grand Canyon on a family vacation, and he watched a guy on the edge of the canyon, you know, deep canyon, you know, of course. And he saw a guy with these little squirrels or chipmunks, these small little animals, and he could lure them out of their dens, out of their rocks, and feed them something. And as he would feed them, he drew them out. He would kick them off the edge of the cliff.
Gee.
What do you think?
I don't want to meet that guy at the canyon, that's for sure.
I don't want to meet that guy.
I'm not going to get near him.
At the canyon. Yeah, Pastor Didis, I think, was standing far away from
him. I bet he was. I hope he was.
Yeah, he would. So this was on video.
Wow.
He saw this on a video. I don't think in person.
Okay.
Okay, he saw it in the video that the guy was there, like, getting these little creatures. I'm just thinking it's so unusual, the whole story, but he used it as an illustration that it's like the devil to lure us to his territory, his ground, draw us out of our place of covering, and then destroy us.
Mm.
You know. Though we don't know if those little creatures fell to their death. We don't really know, because there was a discussion afterwards about that with the biologist. So, you know, it was comforting to know that.
Thank God.
But just to say that courage and faith and love is very important in the time that we're living. And when David was facing Goliath, he knew who he was. He had an identity which was correct. He was saying yes to himself, what was it, 20 times, you know, that idea of taking words and kind of checking my vocabulary to see, Am I hiding? Am I excusing? Am I fearing? And processing that vocabulary in the context of God's word, and then living with that love and having faith.
You have to take a look at your confession, don't you? You have to listen to yourself and what it is that you're saying, because, again, it would be easy for our souls to be conditioned by the old man, the old nature, the Adamic nature. So, you know, the best way to determine who's governing your soul is to listen to what is coming out of your mouth. It's like Jesus said that, you know, out of your heart come the issues of life. You know, a man's words will either justify him or condemn him. Now, not in the sight of God. A person can be saved and justified in God's sight, but the content of their heart through the words which are spoken reveals that maybe their heart is condemning them.
Mm.
I mean, we have to take a look at our confession.
Right.
Make sure that it's consistent with God's thoughts.
Yes. Psalm 139, search me, O Lord.
Mm.
Almost the other way, like we have to bring our vocabulary under the scrutiny of God, and yet the scrutiny of God is his word. So it would be actually better for me to adopt his word and for that to saturate my spirit and heart, because his word is truth.
Mm.
Also, cleanse me according to your word is in John 15. Now you are clean through the word that I've spoken unto you. And also John 17. So we have cleansing power from God to our soul, so we don't believe a lie. Let every man is a liar. God is true, and every man is a liar. Your word is pure. Quicken me according to your word.
And that's a discipline that we have to invite into our own souls, maybe like taking every thought captive.
Mm-hmm.
At one time I thought, that's impossible. If we're averaging 30,000 thoughts a day, I don't have the time or the resources to take every thought captive. But through the power of the Spirit, that is a discipline that can be brought into our lives. It works.
Mm-hmm.
And we can cast down anything, any high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. If it's not consistent with the knowledge of God, it doesn't belong in our minds. We shouldn't give it a place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go to Lise. Lise is joining us from Montreal. And Lise, you too were here for the International Convention. Welcome to the Grace Hour.
Yes, thank you. Good morning, pastors. I was in heaven. I mean, I saw people being very, very happy to see each other after all those years. And it was happiness everywhere. And that's why sometimes coming back to the regular practical life, domestic life, it's a shock. Once again, it was so personal, Pastor Love. For me, I thought you had seen my thoughts, the morning thought I had that, you know, always after all these years, always the same Goliath that comes in front of me. And it's like I always have the same discouraging thoughts, you know. So I think now I'm going to remember this, what you said, that, you said, I knew it. No, it's like, no, I'm concentrated on God. I'm not concentrated on Goliath. It's funny how, you know, you have to have this, you know, it's like there's a special provision for each battle I find, because it's like I have a lot of nice word in my soul, but it's just that this one, this special thing, you know, I always in doubt. I don't want that anymore, you know, and what you what you said this morning, I thought, okay, that's it. It's like discipline of the mind. You don't go there anymore. You don't think those thoughts anymore. You just concentrate on the love of God. And because it doesn't lead you anywhere. You know, thoughts don't lead you anywhere. So yeah, I have to shift. I'm at the point of shifting. I have no strength yet, but I think it's gonna come. Thank you so much. Everything is so always so personal, and it feeds me all the time. And after, then Pastor Schaller came with thoughts that were exactly, like get rid of some thoughts. Yes, exactly. So, well, thank you. Thank you. What can I say? I cannot. I would like to give you my life, but I can't. I mean, I gave it to God. I mean, I pray for you guys and your wives. And thank you very much.
Thank you, Lisa. Yeah, thank you. We appreciate it. We can hear the gratitude in your voice. And praise God. Thanks so much for coming. And every time you come and visit us, we're greatly blessed.
Thank you. And so am I.
Thank you for the call.
Okay, goodbye.
Goodbye. 800-338-7060 is the toll-free number. You can join us on that toll-free number and the local number, 410-483-3700. Pastor Ron Swingle weighed in on YouTube Live, says, I'm thinking at the Great White Throne Judgment, it's a single word. It's yes or no to salvation. That determines one's eternal destiny. It's heaven or the lake of fire, the second death. Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest yes or no decision that people will make with their lives. Amen. Let's go back to the phones up in Lee, Massachusetts. Jenny Perry joining us live on the Grace Hour. Jenny, welcome to the broadcast.
Oh, good morning, Pastor Love, Pastor Schaller. First of all, I think that I can safely speak on behalf of all of us that we thank God for both of you who are, you definitely have yes faces. Definitely. And I think it's because you've said yes to the Lord so many times in your heart. We're just so grateful for your lives and very grateful for the convention we had. Pastor Schaller, I don't know how long ago it was, but you made this one statement in a wrap, I believe, or a service. You said, I come prepared, excuse me for paraphrasing this if it's not correct, but you said, I come with a prepared message. I come prepared to speak with a prepared message. Do you come as a prepared people? And that pierced me. And I think it pierced a lot of us. And I sense that the convention this year, I've been to conventions since the 70s, and I sense that we were really a prepared people. Our hearts were prepared, and the receptivity was greatly enhanced by that. And the messages were well prepared, of course. And the Holy Spirit had prepared our hearts so well. But I brought a friend down. It was her first time, our new neighbor. It was her first time in Baltimore. And her comment coming back was, she said, I have a lot to process. But she said, this one thing I know God more than I did when I went down.
That's a great statement. And,
yes, through the word, through the messages, according to what her capacity was, and also through body life. She just couldn't get over. She couldn't get over the healthiness of lives in the body. She was really blessed.
Praise God.
Yeah, I do remember that statement. We are, as pastors, we are prepared to give a message, and then do the body members come, and are they prepared to receive it? And have they prayed? Or are they available? Are they hungry? Are they interested? All of those attitudes and activities are part of body life, and it's just not one way. And I agree with you. I think when people came, they were anticipating seeing friends, anticipating fellowship, and anticipating encouragement, and it really happened. There was an amazing interaction. We have two calls, Jenny, waiting. So can we go to those?
Yes, of course. Go ahead. Thank you.
Love you. Thank you so much. Lori, you're on the air. Let's go to Lori Barnes.
Lori, welcome to the Grace Hour.
Hi, Pastor Love and Pastor Scheller.
Hi.
Hey, so love the devotional this morning. It was really great. And I wanted to say a couple things. First of all, Don and I just always, well, of course, the third week of June, we're going to be there in Baltimore. That's just all there is to it, no matter what, and except if we're not alive or something like that. But we loved being with the body, how precious the body is. And we were so edified and built up and thankful for Pastor Stevens, his ministry, and that we are privileged to be a part of it. So I wanted to say that, and thank you guys so much for offering it at no cost to everyone. We really appreciated that. Regarding the message this morning, so I was thinking, David, the Israelites had a covenant with God, and Goliath and his guys did not. And so when David heard him, he was like, it was like against the character and the nature of God, everything that Goliath did, everything he represented. And this infuriated David because it's like, you know, the other kingdom coming against God. And I think this is what helped fuel his anger and his courage. And I think when we get the nature of God, when we get who he really is, how good he is and how gentle he is and all of his attributes, then we see when something comes against his nature. And that's when we have this thing that wells up inside of us, because it's all lies. It's all lies. You know?
Yes, yes.
So
yes.
Beautiful. Can't we say the same thing about our culture today? You know, because we hear these voices all the time, and it just comes a point in our lives where we say, you know what? You're going to hear my voice. You're going to hear the voice of truth. You're going to hear the voice of God. You push everything in our culture upon us. Mm-hmm. You have your special months. You have your special times, and you want us to acknowledge it and say this or that. Well, there comes a point in time where we say, look, this is what our God says.
Yeah. And, you know, it's like shame on you. Like, you believe lies, you know.
That's right.
You know, Churchill said, a lie goes around the world while the truth is putting its boots on.
Yeah.
Like, and in a way, the woke culture, the elite that are pushing this agenda, these lies, you know, go ahead, do your thing, but we're here.
Yeah.
We have a conscience.
Amen.
We have a moral conscience. We have an opinion on things, and you know, we're just getting our boots on.
Yeah,
but we're real, you know.
Yeah, and we're here.
We're real, and we are here.
We're here,
and you can't get rid of us yet.
That's right.
No, and you know, the evidence is what you said. Somebody said a few minutes ago, the health of the body, the individual lives are so healthy and right thinking and stable. That's the byproduct. So I want to also say my neighbor, her name is Sally. She lives across the street from me, has had a lot of physical things. And I told her about Grace Hour, and she's listening right now. And I said, that verse in 3 John, as your soul prospers, I would that you would be in good health as your soul prospers. So if we'll get our soul to prosper by hearing the word, hearing messages like you guys had this morning, then our soul will begin to prosper, and that will spill over into our health. And so I just asked for prayer for her.
Yes. Well, Father, we pray for Sally listening today on the Grace Hour, and we do pray for great prosperity within her soul, and that that prosperity in her soul would impact her physical body. Bring healing to her, Lord, supernaturally, by your grace, because of your love. And we believe you for this today, together with the body of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And thank you, guys. My husband would have called in this morning, but he got COVID, so he's down.
All right. Well, Father,
he'll be okay, though.
Raise him up. Get him back on his feet quickly. We need Pastor Don out there in the fields.
Yes.
Thank you, Lori.
Okay. Love you guys.
God bless you. Pastor Moon, we just don't have time to take your call. We're going to run out of time here on this, the Wednesday morning edition of the Grace Hour. Please reach back to us tomorrow. Pastor Moon, pastoring in Mexico City, is in Boston at the present time. Hopefully he can, again, reach us tomorrow on the next edition of the Grace Hour. Thanks so much for joining us, friends. Don't forget, those of you here in the greater Baltimore area, tonight's our midweek service. It begins at 7 p.m. We hope you can come out and join us. Be encouraged in your faith, gathering together with the body of Christ right here. We're located at 6025 Moravia Park Drive. We're in Baltimore. The zip code is 21206. Come on out for a great night of fellowship. And friends, we'll be back in a little less than 24 hours. Join us for the Thursday edition of the Grace Hour then. We'll be right back.